Good morning, and we are so glad that you are here with us, either online or in the room. I am Pastor Andrew. This is Pastor Sheldon. Speaking of Mountain Dew, Pastor Joel, I saw Pastor Sheldon in between services kind of hitting one hard. So he might be talking a little quicker here in second service today. But we are excited for Baptism Sunday, and we're going to celebrate that. We're going to talk about that here this morning together. But I just wanted to take a few minutes and just really encourage you about our Worcester NAS Basics classes. Maybe you've heard us talking about it. Maybe you've seen it on the screen. Who here has gone through the Worcester NAS Basic classes? All right, I see some hands. Our goal is that all of your hands would be up at some point in the next 6 months to a year. Because if you haven't been through those classes in the last 2 years or so, if you're new around here, if you've been here forever and you've not taken them, please join us for those classes, because it's so good just to be together and the conversation and the dialogue that we have. But we really focus in the first week, the My Start class. We talk about the foundations of our faith. We talk about what salvation is. We talk about the significance and importance and truth of the Bible. We talk about prayer and its role in our relationship with God. And we talk about worship. That's the My Start class. The second week, the My Church class, is all about who we are as Worcester Nazarene. We work through this thing called the vision frame. Maybe you've heard our mission statement, seen it on our logo, loving God, loving people, living transformed. There's so much more beyond that. And we dig down into that and talk about where we're going as a church, where God is calling us collectively as one body. And then the third week, the My Place class, we really focus in on who we are as Nazarenes. We talk about our 16 doctrinal beliefs, have really great dialogue there. But then we also talk about how you can get plugged in here at Worcester Nazarene, how you can become a member, how you can start serving, all of those things. So I really encourage you, if you have not taken those classes, we have a brand new set coming up starting next Sunday, August 7th, and then we'll skip a week for the last church picnic, and then the last two will be on the 21st and the 28th, right over here in the fellowship hall during this second service. You can sign up for those online. And maybe you're like, well, Sunday morning doesn't work for me, so I'll just have to do it later. Well, we have an opportunity for you. This is hot off the press. We are going to be doing a basics all-in-one Saturday morning on Saturday, September the 24th, from 9 a.m. to noon. We will serve you breakfast, so that feels like some pretty good incentive to show up. It's not a Nazarene event if there's not food, so you can come to that. If you're serving on Sunday morning, you're busy, you can't make it to those during second service, that might be a really good opportunity for you to get plugged in for the basics classes. Going back to week one of that class, one of the things that we hit on when we're talking about salvation is baptism. And that's exactly what we're going to focus in on this morning and talk through some of that. What is baptism? Why should you get baptized? And so I'm going to kick it over to Pastor Sheldon to kind of start us into what is baptism and why is it significant?
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad to see all the teens down front. This makes me feel at home now. Yeah, there we go. All right. Well, when I first came to Worcester Nazarene, one of the things that I saw that was completely different is how we do baptisms. So I'm excited about this morning. I've been excited about every baptism since the first one I saw. The tradition that I came from, it was maybe a little more formal and somber when you did baptisms. I don't know if somber is the right word, but something like that. It was just formal. And there is a form to what we do. There's a reason we say the things we say. But in this house, we celebrate it like we're celebrating the birth of a newborn. And the whole place just gets really rowdy and excited and claps and cheers. And usually there's a worship song going. And it is just a celebration of new life in Christ. So this is a brand new Christian, or and sometimes it's someone that's been a Christian for a while, starting a new point in their journey forward. And so we're celebrating that life change. The other thing that I think about when I think about baptism is that a church that is growing, that God is active in, that he's moving, that one of the evidences of that new life is that the church is baptizing people. That's how the church has grown for thousands of years. Ever since the very first gospel message was preached, the church has been baptizing people and adding to their number. And so we celebrate that this morning. There's going to be people that are added to our number today. That's pretty cool. And we get a chance to cheer and celebrate. So when that time comes, let your voice be heard and just make it an all-out celebration. I was saying that we've been doing this ever since the first time, and that's kind of where baptism started. It started at Pentecost. So some of you may know the story of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fell on a room where the disciples were waiting. Peter and the other disciples were there. They got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they ran out into the street to tell people about it. And Peter preached an amazing sermon. It wasn't very long, and it just cut everyone to the heart. And the Bible says they were cut to the heart, and they turned to Peter and said, "What should we do? What do we do?" And the answer to that question is in Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit they had just received, Peter said, believe, repent, be baptized, and you will receive the Holy Spirit too. You get to be added in. And so for years afterwards, and even today, people wonder, if I place my faith in Jesus Christ, what do I do next? This is it. Baptism is it. That's what you're doing next. When can you be baptized? As soon as possible, at the first opportunity, because it means identification with the body of Christ. It means it's a public declaration of death to your old way of life and rebirth to new life in Christ. And in some ways, we're identifying with the body of Christ, all the believers here. I'm a part of the body. I might be a hand or a foot, or Andrew might be the head. I don't know.
Maybe a big toe.
Big toe. Either way, you're a member of the body of Christ here in this house. And globally, you become a global member of the body of Christ. And we get added into the family of God that's been about this for the last 2,000 years. But we also identify with Christ's body, who was, when he died, was buried in a tomb and rose again. So we identify with that in baptism. So we go under the water to symbolize death, and we come up out of the water, received into new life. Baptism is such a unique expression. I don't know of anything like it in any other religion or any other practice that's comparable, but it is such a unique opportunity that I just enjoy the chances that we get to celebrate it. One of the things that I was thinking about when I was thinking about baptism, and I've had a little bit more time to think about it than maybe you have, but baptism is one of the most important declarations that you will ever make. And for some of you teens, this may be hard to believe, but it is more important. The declaration of who is Savior and Lord of your life is more important than who I will marry someday. That is the decision on which all the others hinge. And so when I say that Jesus is my Savior and Lord, I'm making a more significant declaration than I am when I say who I'm going to choose to be married to. So when we celebrate this act of baptism, it's almost the same way as like putting on a wedding ring. So I made my promises to Jess as she walks in. I made my promises to Jess before God and these witnesses, and after that, I was allowed to put on a wedding ring, which was my outward symbol of an inward vow that I took. That doesn't promise that I'm going to have a good marriage, in the same way that baptism doesn't do anything magical that necessarily promises you something in the future, but it is a moment that signifies the grace of God on your life. And Jesus is right there with you in that moment, and it is such a help. This is a daily reminder, and my baptism is a public reminder. It is one of those things that symbolizes something so deep and so real and so significant that it is worth taking the time. So when we get to this part of the service, that is, you guys, the rest of the body of Christ gets to receive a new member of the body of Christ today, and we should take time. We should take time for this significant moment in the same way that all of us take time out of our schedule for a wedding. You know,
yeah,
that's what
sure.
I think about.
Yeah, And I just want to clarify and kind of reiterate something Sheldon said, but not quite in this way. The act of getting baptized does not save us.
Right.
It is subsequent to us saying yes to Jesus. Maybe you've heard somebody before, you've seen it on a video, like, I'm going to get baptized so I know that I'm saved. And that's not what we believe. We believe that you need to say yes to Jesus first. And then the next best thing, as soon as you can, is to say, I'm going to get baptized and tell the whole world. So that's good. That answers a little bit of that question of what is baptism. But we also want to answer the question of why should you get baptized? We've talked about it a little bit, but we just want to give three, kind of four reasons of why you should get baptized. And the first one that we want to offer as a suggestion and an answer for that is because Jesus himself was baptized, and we should in turn follow the example of Jesus and the life that he lived. In Matthew chapter 3, this is 13 to 17 in the New Living Translation, it says, "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John the Baptist," that's who it's talking about here, "John tried to talk him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." Maybe you've heard a different translation that says, "in whom I am well pleased." But I love that, who brings me great joy. And this moment in the New Testament, throughout the Gospels, it reads a little differently. But this moment of Jesus's baptism is huge. There's so much significance here. It's marking the beginning of Jesus's ministry. It's also confirming that Jesus is God's son. God is speaking from heaven, his voice. The Holy Spirit is descending and settling over him like a dove. This is the first time in the New Testament, too, where we explicitly see all three persons of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all in the same time, at the same place, expressly written in the New Testament. And it also, this act of Jesus submitting himself to baptism is an incredible example of obedience, but it's also a foreshadowing to his upcoming, what would be about 3 years after that, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. It was all of that was happening in this hugely significant moment. And Jesus was also, like I said, setting that example for us to say, okay, Jesus submitted himself to baptism. We should probably get baptized too. That's a pretty good enough reason for me. And a secondary part of this first answer is Jesus led by example, but he also later commanded us to be baptized. It was a direct call. In Matthew 28:19, he says this in the Great Commission, is what this little passage is called. He says to the disciples, "Therefore you go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And then in Mark 16:16, it says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Just kind of reiterating that believing and baptism, they're one in one. They're in the same sentence. If I say yes to Jesus, my next step is to get baptized and tell the world. And it's that commission, that call to the disciples, they definitely heard that, because what Sheldon was saying just a few minutes ago, after Pentecost, they're like, well, what do? Well, we need to start baptizing people like Jesus said we needed to do. So the first answer, kind of two answers to this question, is we should get baptized because Jesus showed us the example himself, and he also commanded us to be baptized.
One of the reasons that we're getting baptized is because it is a significant signpost in our life. This is a significant moment that we're putting down a stake and said, from this day on, I'm living for Jesus. And I want to tell everybody that there's something going on inside that's different. It's something has happened. So when I was baptized, the pastor said something like, "Sheldon, upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." It's upon your confession of faith. It is less about me, and it's more about who I'm putting my faith into, okay? So this act is about pointing and praising and saying, look what God is doing in me. Look what he is doing. And I'm here to give public testimony. And the act of baptism itself is testimony to what God is doing. It is the gospel on display. So when you participate in that, it is an expression of faith. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us that he's talking about Noah's flood. He's talking about how Noah believed in God and he had faith in God and went through the flood experience. And he says, and that water, the water of the flood, is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body. Nobody's getting, you know, their bath here today. Not by removing the dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. Look what God is doing. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus. That's the only reason that there's power in this at all. We have no power in our Christian life except for the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that is alive and well inside of us. And that's what we're saying right here. I was dead in my sin. I had no way to find God. I was not going to dig my way out. I was not going to buy my freedom. I was not going to work harder somehow to get out of my mess. I was dead in my sin, and God raised me to new life. In the same way that he raised Jesus from the dead, he's doing it again in me now. Even if I believed in Jesus a long time ago, went through an experience and said, you know what? I've been awakened to new life in Christ. My heart is warm now in a way that it wasn't before. There's something happening. I want to tell the world, this is how we do it. This is how we tell the world. It's one of the ways. You can tell people in other ways. You're allowed. But this is a simple way of putting on display the gospel message. And so if you've reached a significant turning point in your life and you want to put that anchor down and say, I was baptized on this day at this time and my life forward is going to be different, that you're going to have that opportunity today. We believe that there will be some today that are going to spontaneously say, I want to be baptized. This is me. You're talking about what God is doing in me, and I want to take part of that. So we're going to give you the opportunity to do that today. Some of you might say, well, what if I've been baptized before? I was maybe baptized as a baby, or I've been baptized when I was younger and I barely remember it, or something like that. We recognize those baptisms, and if that's what you hold as your baptism, great, that's good. But if you choose and you say, you know what, I find something very significant about full immersion, going under the water, and putting that stake down as an adult, I'm saying right now, right here, I'm declaring that for me. Today's your opportunity. Next time we do baptism is your opportunity. You can be baptized, every one of you. And that call from Peter to all the people in Israel that were there that day was the same call that we give today. Who should be baptized? Every one of you that has faith in Jesus, come and be baptized. That's the significant moment that we're symbolizing by going under the water.
And that was part of my story personally. I grew up here at Worcester Nazarene, and I was baptized probably somewhere between the range of 8 and 10 years old, and that was significant, and I knew what I was doing. And I, later on in life, after me and my wife Sam had gotten married and we had graduated from college, we were living up in the Warren Youngstown area, and it was either the first or second year we were married. We were in this new place and serving on some leadership, and I just felt like so much in my life had changed. During college, I had given that ultimate yes to Jesus, fully surrendered my life over to him, and I just felt like the Lord was calling me to that act of obedience to get baptized again. He put it on my heart, and I felt like I needed to say yes and be obedient in that way. And so I did. I got baptized again, and then my wife Sam got baptized for the first time, and I was able to be there and help baptize her. It was really awesome. It was also in a hot tub in the middle of a parking lot, which was incredible. Because the water was really warm. I can't promise that for this water this morning. But we can baptize anywhere, in a pond, in a hot tub. I've done it lots of different places. We've done it in pools.
I helped my son get baptized in a pool. That was great. All that's necessary is a body of water, and this counts as a body of water. I always think of the New Testament story of Philip and the Ethiopian. This guy was riding in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, and God put Philip in the right place at the right time. And he just, his heart was open to receive the gospel. And he asked Philip, what's stopping me from being baptized? Nothing. There was water along the road. They went off the road and baptized him right away. So as long as there's water and you've confessed Jesus as your Savior, go for it.
I love it. So the first answer to why you should get baptized is because Jesus himself did it. He showed us the way and he commanded it. Secondly, when we get baptized, we are demonstrating this significant change that has occurred in our lives. And the third thing is, we've alluded to this, we've already said it a few times, but it is this very clear public declaration to the world that says, I am a child of God. It's telling everybody. It's like that wedding ring that Sheldon mentioned. This never goes away. Once you're married, this is for life. It's telling the world, I am choosing to live for Jesus. Matthew 10, 32 to 33 says this, whoever acknowledges me before others, this is Jesus speaking, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. That's not a threat. That's just Jesus saying, this is my heart. I want you to share my love for the world with them. I don't want you to hide this. I want you to be bold. I want you to declare to the world that you're living for me and share my love, that same love that I have for you. I want you to share with the world. And another secondary thought I had to this, thinking about this is a personal commitment that we're sharing very publicly with the world, is that when we do that, that brings a great amount of accountability and responsibility. It's a weight. It's not in a bad way. It's a mantle of responsibility of saying, okay, I'm a carrier of the Holy Spirit. I have the same power that Jesus had, and I need to live my life in a way that honors him and loves people and really lives that transforming life every single day. So it's not meant to be a scary thing. It's meant to be just this realization that there's people that will hold me accountable to this, and I have this responsibility to live a life worthy of the calling that he's placed upon me, wherever that is and whatever that looks like.
Yeah, and none of this is significant unless you've said yes to Jesus. That's the real question that's before some of us today. That's a, you know what? I haven't said yes to Jesus. I haven't started a relationship with him. And one of the things that we're asking you today, and you will have a chance to respond here at the end of service, are you willing to make the great exchange? My sin that I cannot get free from, that I cannot buy my way out of, I'm going to exchange that for eternal life. And some of you today, you didn't know it when you walked in here, but your eternal life is going to start today. We don't start eternal life when we die. We get to start it today. We get to begin to build a relationship with Jesus today that lasts an eternity. When I get to heaven, I'm going to hear the voice that I recognize because I've heard it before. When I get there, I'm going to see the face and I'm going to know him because I know him here. I know him now. And your eternal life can start right now. That's when you begin to build a relationship with Jesus, is here. That's why we would get baptized at all. Why would you want to identify with someone that you don't even know? Come today, get to know him. And it's just a point of surrender. It's saying, I'm tied up in my sin. I'm bound up and I can't get free. I need a Savior to release me from this sin. And I need him to take it away from me because I know I can't do it on my own. And that's one of the things that we are passionate about in this house. It is that you can be free. Freedom is available to you. You do not have to be a slave to sin. He walked into our Egypt. He took you by the hand and led you out. There is no one else that could do that. There is no one else that could do that. And I would challenge you. Some people say, oh, my sin is too big, or I've been in it too long, or I don't feel like I can ever get free. I don't know what the answer is. Well, either the blood of Jesus has power over that, or it doesn't. Yeah. It's all or nothing. Either it is effective for my neighbor's sin, my spouse's sin, somebody else's sin, my sin personally, or it's not. Either it is effective for it or it is not. And I'm here today to tell you, there is no greater power than the power of the cross. Nothing. Nothing on earth can stand in the way. There is not a chain he can't break. There is not anything in your life that he can't deal with. Nothing is too big. No mountain too high. He can cross it. And it is because of the ultimate sacrifice that he made. His blood is enough for whatever binds you. All you have to do is exchange it. The invitation is on the table. How will you respond? And for some of you today, the line that you have to cross is Jesus' sacrifice, what he did for you. Are you willing to accept it and say, yes, that's for me today, right here, right now. I need that. I want to identify with him in his suffering, in his death, and yes, in his resurrection power that releases you to walk in newness of life. That's what we're celebrating today. When somebody comes up out of the water, we receive them to walk in newness of life, in the power of God. I tell the teens all the time, you don't get a junior Holy Spirit or a little dose of him. It's not like medicine that you take. You go all the way under. You get the whole thing. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and well inside of you. Just make that exchange. Who wouldn't want to exchange what I cannot get free from for what I cannot buy?
You better be careful. You're going to really start preaching.
I better sit down.
I just want you to share again, you did in first service, and I think it was so helpful, just about the significance for you personally when you said yes to Jesus and how that changed, you know, the course and set things in place in your life that you're still living in today.
Right. So for me, my salvation experience, I know that I heard the call of the Holy Spirit on my heart, and I was sitting right where you're sitting. It was a revival service, and they gave an altar call, and I was able to stiff-arm the Holy Spirit the whole way through the service because nobody else was going forward, and I like people to be with me. That's a thing. And so I was not as brave as some of you are to go up there by myself and to pray to receive the Holy, to receive Jesus as my Savior and to make that great exchange. I was never so fearful leaving a church in my entire life. I was pretty sure that I was going to die in a car crash on the way home or something. Like, I had to get that taken care of before I went to bed that night. And my mom and dad were gracious enough to sit there with me and pray all the way through all of it. Because for me, I had this thing that, along with asking Jesus to be my Savior, I knew I was making him Lord of my life. Like, I was signing a check at the bottom, having no idea what he would write in above. It was, wherever you call me, whatever you ask of me, whoever you ask me to talk to, whatever you ask me to do, this is the last time I'm going to say no to you. It was in that service. It was yes from there forward. And sometimes it took me, still takes me a while to get to the yes. But if he's asking, eventually I'm going to get to that yes, because I decided that a long time ago. That yes to Jesus meant everything to me. And I knew once I was signing up, he could call me anywhere. He could ask me to go anywhere, be anything, do anything, and I was good with that because I wanted whatever he had for me. And there's no more secure place in the world than in the center of God's will. And what is God's will for your life? That you would be saved. As long as it is called today, the opportunity is on the table for you to receive salvation. And today is a great day. Today is a great day for that to happen. So if some of you today, you're like, I don't want to go forward. I don't want to be alone. I'll meet you here, okay? I got you. I know what that's like. You won't be alone. We're going to come. We're going to surround you. We're going to be with you. We'll pray through that together. And I don't want you to be alone up here, so we'll find somebody for you. But that moment of crossing the line is something we all have to do. And maybe for you today, I've believed in Jesus, but I haven't told him, you got all of me. You know, maybe he has all my sin, but does he have all of you? So maybe today, that's what you're being called to. So you're going to have a chance here in just a moment.
I'm going to stand up now because that was powerful when you did that.
You do that.
So, Bryson, wherever you are, please come and help us. So you might have heard everything we've said so far, and you're like, okay, guys, that's great. But you haven't told me how. How do I actually say yes to Jesus? And it's really not complicated. It's not hard. It starts with repentance. Sheldon mentioned that at the very beginning. Everything starts with repentance. And repentance is basically a turning away from your sin. It's turning your sin over to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I don't want this sin in my life anymore. It's dirty. I hate it. I don't want to keep living a cycle of just sinning and living in shame and guilt over and over again. So repenting and a complete turn away from your sin. That's the first thing. And a part of that, as I was thinking and praying and watching some stuff this week, I know we've heard this before, but I just had this reminder that there is nothing in this world that can fill that God-shaped hole that's in our hearts. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you still feel that gap in your own heart. I was seeing some things and reading some quotes from some rich and famous people, and it was something along the lines of, I wish people could be as rich and famous as me so that they knew that this was not the answer. That the gap was still there, that there's still that perfectly God-shaped hole that only he can fill. Only the relationship with Jesus can fill that space. So the first step is repentance, turning your sin over to Jesus. The next step is just confessing that Jesus is Lord, confessing that you believe that he did go to the cross and that he died. And that 3 days later, he rose again in victory over sin, hell, and the grave. Confessing that he is, yes, Savior, but like Sheldon said too, that he is Lord. And that's the last part. That confessing him as Lord is saying, Jesus, I don't want you just to save me, but I want to fully and completely surrender my life to you. It's what Pastor Nathan would call this palms up living. It's a yes today, and it's a yes tomorrow, and it's a yes 10 years from now. It is saying, Jesus, I repent, I confess, and ultimately, I surrender all. Jesus, I want you to come in and transform the way that I think so that I can know your good and perfect will for my life. That's what it means to say yes to Jesus. That is how you can say yes to Jesus. So I want to invite you to stand this morning. We're going to celebrate in a few minutes, but we have plenty of time. Baptism's going to be incredible. But I believe this morning that the same Holy Spirit that was prompting Pastor Sheldon so many years ago is maybe prompting you this morning. Maybe today is your opportunity to say yes to Jesus. I want to be clear. I'm not trying to trick you or talk you into anything. I just want to offer you an opportunity for obedience to say yes to Jesus, to confess and repent and believe and surrender. And maybe some of you also, before I pray here in just a minute, maybe some of you are listening this morning and you're saying, hey, I believe in Jesus, but I haven't gotten baptized. Well, you can get baptized today. Here in just a few moments, Pastor's going to have everybody that's getting baptized come up here and stand in the front. Even if you weren't on the list, if you're like, I need to get baptized, you come up and join us this morning. If you're saying yes to Jesus for the first time this morning, you come up and stand with us. You can get baptized today too. I encourage you to step out in obedience, however God is asking you. And I know from my own life that when Jesus is calling me to do something, one of the best ways I can be obedient is to put some feet to it. So if you want to say yes to Jesus today, Pastor Sheldon already said it. He will meet you down here at the altar. We have other prayer team people that would love to pray with you. But as I pray, I encourage you, say yes to Jesus. Whatever that means for your life today, whatever that step of obedience looks like for you, say yes to Jesus as I pray today. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. I thank you, Jesus, that what you did on the cross is enough. That what you did on the cross, when you went to the cross and you died and your blood was poured out, that it was enough to cover my sin. It was enough to cover all of our sins once and for all. Salvation was made available. And I thank you, Jesus, that you rose again 3 days later in victory over death, over the grave. And so I pray this morning, Jesus, for those that want to say yes to you, that want to make that great exchange. God, I pray that they would just pray and say, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I turn from my past, and I confess that you, Jesus, died on the cross for me, that your blood was poured out for me. And I confess and I believe that you rose again in victory 3 days later so that I could have the opportunity for eternal life with you. And Lord, I pray that as they pray that, they would just come to this point of complete and full surrender to you, Jesus, that it would be the ultimate yes, that palms up living, that you would help us today to truly be living an ongoing, transforming life for you. So Jesus, we are so thankful to be together this morning. We celebrate with those who are being baptized. God, I pray that you would just infuse them today with a new drive, a new sense of your Holy Spirit power and Holy Spirit calling. Show them the path that you have for them as they come up out of the water. God, I just pray that they would just feel a new regeneration in their hearts and their spirit as you call them forward and you call them towards the blessings that you have for them. So, Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for the opportunity to be together. And we thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. We pray all this in his matchless name. Amen.